This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. It's a pleasure to have you here for the big Tuesday show, as we do it on Locks of the Week Radio with me, Dave Medina. With all the sports going on around us, which is not much. I mean, really, sports has been pretty slow the last few days. And, you know, when you have this, you have to come up with other things to talk about as you start to get into the dog days of summer. But the dog days of sports radio is that period between mid-June and early August. August starts to get interesting because we can start talking about football and previews. We can start to get into that a little bit. I mean, do you really want to hear about Yao Ming? Oh, he might miss the season. The big story. Well, all right, we'll get into that first. Before we start here on the show, let's talk a little bit about Yao Ming. Well, the report's out. Yao's broken left foot could be a career-threatening injury. According to Dr. Tom Clanton, the Houston Rockets team physician, the Houston Chronicle was told on Monday that Yao's injury has the potential for him missing this next season and could be career-threatening. Unbelievable. I mean, that foot has been nagging him for 3 years. And people were talking about, well, he played 77 games in 2009, which, for him, is unbelievable. And he still had the foot injury. It never ends with this guy. Never ends. Yao Ming. He's such a talented player. So good on offense. And he brings it to you every night. Great guy, too. Such a shame to see him go through this foot injury. And if it happens, the Rockets are no longer a contender for anything. They're a 7th, 8th, 9th, maybe 10th seeded team in the Western Conference. And I don't care who you put in there. I don't care if Artes plays every game. It doesn't matter if Aaron Brooks is, how good Aaron Brooks is. He could be an MVP candidate. It's not going to be enough. They need Yao. But that's been his problem in his entire career. That foot. I mean, you worry about that foot. Now it's over. And it's over. It's over. I mean, forget it. I mean, it was hard to rely on the Houston Rockets to stay healthy anyway. But now that they pretty much are saying that he's done for the season. I mean, they're saying, well, he might be done. He's done. It's over. It's over. The Houston Rockets franchise will have to just get a mulligan and start over. It's over. I mean, he's a great ambassador to China and the community and the NBA. It's over. It's all over. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's sad. And just imagine the burden on the salary cap. You know, Yao is going to be owed $16 million in 2 years. Well, no, next season he's going to be getting $16 million. And there's an option that could pay him $17 million. I mean, that's just bad luck. I mean, you got a feel for Rockets fans right now. I mean, it's over! You got one guy here who can't keep his foot in one piece. You got another guy who's always out when it matters. That's Tracy McGrady. And then you got Ron Artest, who can sometimes physically be out, and most of the time, mentally, he's gone. This team is a bit turning into a wreck. There's no way around it. I mean, the Rockets are finished. The Rockets are going to have to just start over. They're going to have to get another guy. They're going to have to do something. We're just going to have to put it all, start from the draft and just retool and then just pretend like the last 3 years never happened. But it's a shame, you know? Yao Ming on the team, that team could have gone places. That team with Yao, I think they'd have beaten the Lakers in the semifinals last year, or this year, excuse me. with Yao, they'd have made the Western Conference Finals at least twice. They didn't make it at all. They didn't even make the Western Conference Finals this decade. I mean, can you believe that? Usually when you have a guy that dominant in the paint offensively, like Yao, like Shaq, like Kareem, like countless centers, even Bill Walton had his little moment of glory. Every single one is at least going to make a run to the NBA Finals. And the Rockets have never come close. And why? Because he can't stay healthy. And he's never been able to stay healthy. I mean, this is big news, but really not surprising. It really isn't. Yao is out. I'm not going to make a joke about it. Yao's done. I mean, it's sad. Because he was great to watch. He was a great player to watch, but I think it's the end of the line. Not all too unlike what happened with Ralph Sampson, although it's not necessarily a story of injury with Sampson. But it is too bad to see him go down like this, and a guy who's in his relative prime of his career, to really much have it all ended because of a bum foot. 7'6", Yao Ming is. Yao is. Indeed. It's disappointing. No question. I mean, I don't know what else to really say. And I feel bad for Rockets fans today. Huh? There's no question about it. I mean, you can't even imagine that team now. Houston with half of Tracy McGrady, Ron Artest, and some really, really mediocre, if that, players augmenting that core, that group. I mean, that's a team that really was built around Yao, and now Yao is no longer in the equation. Now, you know what happens with unbalanced equations. Chaos. You'll never get around that. Unbalanced equations are recipes for disaster. And Houston has got a lot of work to do now. The Rockets, as well as they've tried, they just can't seem to get off the ground. It's like an airplane that just tried to take off the runway. The nose goes up, but the rest of it can't. It's stuck. It can't get off the ground. It goes off for maybe a second, and then it comes right back down again. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for me. I'm not even a Rockets fan. It's frustrating. I mean, can you get over that? I can't. Oh, poor Rockets fans today. I mean, really. They had the tool to really make some serious noise in the NBA playoffs, and they've never even been able to come even close to it. I mean, what the Orlando Magic did this year, getting to the finals with a very young and unproven Dwight Howard, is basically what the Rockets were supposed to do 5 years ago. Am I wrong? Was there a better center in the Western Conference at the time? I don't think so. Shaq was on his last legs, and he was in Miami. Tim Duncan was probably the force, I guess, but at least the Rockets would have been in the picture. Not even close. Not even close. So you have to feel for the Rockets organization, the players, the city, the state of Texas. It's a disappointing day for the Rockets franchise. All right, now, folks, this is Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. And this is Andrew Jacobson back after another brief hiatus. He's joining us. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing pretty good. Life is good. The warm weather is getting hotter, and so are the ladies. It's beautiful.
Very nice.
Did you know? Did I tell you about that one I was seeing today? I saw one pass by. I was eating this 1 pound hamburger, and I had saw this one lady pass by, and she was wearing shorts or something like that with a guy. Wow, had to be seen to be believed.
That's what you want when you see like a really hot chick. You want to be caught eating a 1 pound hamburger when a really hot chick walks by you. That's the way to woo her and win her over.
It worked for Audrina Partridge.
Yeah?
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Have you seen that Carl's Jr. commercial where they're in the gold bikini?
Oh, okay, yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. And I know...
Boy, do I know who that is. I mean, why?
I think I have oh, sure. I have a craving for a teriyaki burger. Don't you?
Teriyaki burger?
Yeah.
Like, is it a hamburger with teriyaki sauce on it?
And a pineapple slice.
And a pint? No, absolutely not. I would not eat that.
All right.
Pineapple. Pineapple on a hamburger? Good Lord, I don't even like pineapple on a pizza.
That's your loss. Well, I mean, it's an acquired taste, for sure.
Yeah. Well, one I have not acquired. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the traditional stuff on my burger, a little cheese, tomato, lettuce. You know.
How do you like the lettuce on your hamburger? Do you like it shredded, like in little strings, or do you
it
in leaves?
I love when they do the shredded thing.
Me too.
Yeah, I like the shredded thing.
Yeah. It's really
good. Not a lot of places do the shredded thing, though.
You're right. The Habit did, though. Am I right?
Yeah, I think the Habit did. I like that. Yeah, I like that. The other people just pop out. They just get a leaf and they put it on there. You know?
I know.
It's not even really lettuce. It's just like they go out and they just grab a leaf from somewhere, a really big leaf, and they just put it on top.
Unreal.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. I like the shredded lettuce.
I do too.
I like the shredded lettuce on a hamburger.
I think that's solid. I mean, so let's get on to business. We have sports.
And I like the double bacon or the Western bacon cheeseburger from Carl's Jr. They put the onion rings on top.
Oh, that's a smart. That's great. You know,
that's good.
That is really good. And you know what else is good? You're not going to believe this. The Outback burger at the Outback Steakhouse is phenomenal because they use the bloomin' onion strings in there. It's really good.
Oh, nice. That does sound good. I've been Outback Steakhouse in forever.
That sounds like some place that you got to check out sometime soon just to see what I'm talking about. It's actually pretty good. I'm surprised. I haven't been there in a while either. It's been really quite good to me.
Yeah, well, I went there a long time ago, long time ago. This was right before I started high school. And I went there, I had dinner there with my family one night, and the next day I got appendicitis.
Ew.
Yeah. And I, for the longest time, irrationally thought that somehow the Outback Steakhouse was involved in me getting appendicitis.
Man.
Which isn't true, obviously. You get appendicitis not from what you eat or anything like that, but just because it happened the day before. And we never go to Outback Steakhouse, and just happened to went the day before I ended up getting deathly ill and almost died. That, you know, I just for a long time didn't trust it, so... But I've been like two or three times since.
What did you have when you went there last time?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I think the last time I went was probably when I was living in Connecticut. There was an Outback Steakhouse that wasn't too far from my place in Connecticut. So that had to be almost 6 years ago at this point.
Wow. Eons.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
No question. You know what else? It's been a long time since we've talked about the Giants, the baseball Giants, in any kind of a playoff race. To see them now in the wild card hunt with that 9-0 victory against St. Louis today, and that was a good scene.
10-0.
Oh, 10-0. Yeah, and Lincecum reduced the Cardinals to 2 hits. This is a good hitting lineup. I'm very impressed so far with the Giants.
Well, the Cardinals have been struggling recently with some of their hitting stuff. I think they said something like their last 5 games they only scored a handful of runs or something like that, or they're only averaging like 2 or 3 runs a game over the last 5 or 6 games or something. So they've been struggling kind of more recently with their offense. But what a dominating performance by Lincecum. Obviously, I love the guy. He's on my favorite team. He's the best pitcher. He's the best pitcher in the National League. At least in my opinion. And tonight's performance was just about as good as it could possibly be. You know, I mean, outside of throwing a no-hitter, he gave up 2 hits tonight. But outside of throwing a no-hitter, he couldn't have pitched any better. Kept the pitch count down low. He went 9 innings, so he went the whole game, complete game. Kept the pitch count low, which is big, you know, and sometimes for strikeout pitchers, that pitch count can really go up pretty quickly, and a lot of times it keeps them from going, you know, the whole game or so. But he really kept the pitch count low, didn't have any inning which he threw more than 15 pitches, had a few innings where he threw, you know, only single digits in the number of pitches. So, he, you know, 95 pitches to pitch 9 innings, so averaging a little over 10 pitches an inning. So he was good there. And then obviously the Giants, you know, not a lot. You see the team, that team score double digits in runs, but they were able to put 10 on the board tonight and on the road with the big big win in St. Louis.
Absolutely. And this is the second time in 2 years they've scored 10 runs at Busch Stadium in a series against the Cardinals. I mean, I can't get over that.
Yeah, I'm liking that, the Busch Stadium. I think the Giants should play half their games in San Francisco and the other half at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. All their road games there. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, Benji Molina's statistics would go through the charts, man. He'd be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, well, his brother's there in St. Louis.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yadier Molina.
But a good win by the Giants. And, yeah, I mean, I'm a Giants fan, and I didn't have a whole lot of expectations this year. I said for a long time that I would be just happy if they finished 500 or above, and for quite a while there in the season, they were about a 500 team, you know, but they did a really good month of June here, and they're actually 6 games over 500 for the month of June. So I think they've made a few moves, made some things to their lineup, a few changes. Getting some guys in there, mixing it up a little bit better, producing more runs, and the pitching's been solid, obviously. So, yeah, they're right there on top for the wild card. It's pretty amazing to think that if the season ended today, the Giants would be in the playoffs.
Now, this brings up a very interesting question. Do they make a move at the trade deadline, given that they have a real chance to make some noise in the playoffs? Is it worth the risk of trading young talent to get that extra bat to put the Giants over the top?
Well, I think for me, it really depends. I mean, I think they shouldn't make any moves now. I think you should still wait and see how the next 2-3 weeks kind of play out going into the All-Star break, and then how the team kind of comes out of the All-Star break. I'd kind of like for them to kind of wait till about then or so before deciding to make any moves. See where you're at, because obviously you got 3 more in St. Louis. Tomorrow's going to be a tough one for them because they're going up against Carpenter. Randy Johnson's going to pick for the Giants, but I think that's, you know, the advantage of St. Louis tomorrow. But we'll see. And then they got 2 more in the series. They've got a good chance to go back home. They play some games at home before the All-Star break, all against teams under 500, so they'll have a good opportunity there to maybe make up some games and get some wins. And then you have the All-Star break, and I think after the All-Star break, it'd be kind of good to see how they come out of it, how they're playing, and if they're still right there at the top or really close to the top, you know, depending upon who you're giving up and what you're giving away, I wouldn't mind maybe them making a move. You know, the big thing is who they're going to give up, obviously. I mean, if they're going to give up really strong young talent, I would be against it, but if they're going to give up a guy like, you know, Jonathan Sanchez, you know, somebody like that, or maybe somebody, you know, Fred Lewis, or, you know, somebody like that who necessarily doesn't have a great future with the team, you know, and probably will be expendable or have a limited role in the future, then I don't mind it. But if you're going to give up somebody, you know, who could possibly could have a really strong role with the team in the future, you know, then I would be against it. Because, I mean, ultimately, the Giants are kind of out of it in terms of the division race right now. And you're virtually playing for the wild card. I don't think really when you're just trying to fight for a wild card and you're not in it for division that you should be making really big, big moves. I think otherwise, if you're just solely in it for a wild card spot, you know, the chance that you make the playoffs is a lot less than if you were in for not only division, but then also a wild card spot, you know.
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about the wild card, we talk about teams, other teams competing in the National League. I see 2 teams. One's going up, one's coming down. First, let's talk about the Mets. The Mets, with all the expectations, with the supposedly patched bullpen, with all that talent, conceivable talent, in the lineup, they're sitting 2 games under 500, and they don't look very good at all. Is this team done?
I don't think they're done. I think the one thing with the Mets you got to look at is the injuries. You know, I mean, Jose Reyes, Carlos Beltran, Carlos Delgado, JJ Putz, you know, I mean, they've got guys, you know, guys all over the place, you know, on the DL, missing significant time here. And that's really hurting that ball club, particularly offensively. They're just really struggling to score runs. And that was a team that scoring runs was had to be their deal, because outside of Johan Santana, the pitching's not the best for that team either. You know, kind of serviceable, but certainly not very, very good. So, I mean, them being able to produce and score runs had to be the big thing. And, you know, Wright's having a pretty good year, but the guy's only got, I think, 4 or 5 home runs this year. You know, he's not hitting for the kind of power that he's hit in the past. And then you got guys like Delgado and Beltran. And then, of course, you got Jose Reyes, who's their big, you know, base dealer. Guy gets on the bases, makes things happen at the top of that order. All those guys gone, you know, that's really depleting their lineup. And they're just really having a hard time scoring runs. And, you know, we'll see what the Mets do in terms of making moves here in the next few weeks. I think, you know, even the Mets have said over the last few days that, you know, they've got to make a move. You know, the only thing that's really keeping them afloat right now is you know, one of the guys I, you know, in baseball who I just can't stand pretty much almost as much as anybody is Gary Sheffield.
Oh, no.
But I will admit, you know, he's having a good year this year, whether it's steroid-aided, I don't know. I mean, the guy's done, he's been accused of, and been proven to have done that in the past. Who knows if he's doing it again, but, he's having a good year, and that's one thing that's kind of keeping him afloat right now. But yeah, this team's just really struggling scoring runs, and they're going to keep doing that until they get guys like Beltran and Reyes back, and then maybe even later in the season Delgado. Until then, this team is going to just have to struggle just to kind of stay in it.
Yeah, I mean, two things bother me about this team. Their starting rotation really isn't that good. I mean, and not only that, you were saying about making a move. What kind of a move could they make? They have one of the highest payrolls in the baseball already, and they've depleted their farm system. They have almost nothing to give up. If they make a move, it's probably a white flag type of trade, don't you think?
Well, they'd probably make a move just to kind of, you know, I don't know what they'd have in terms of their minor league stuff. I'm not up on the Mets minor league system. But they'd probably move one of their other players, you know, like David Murphy or somebody like that, some guy who's got a pretty good potential but, you know, is on the bench right now, or maybe get a little bit more time and trying to go out and get a bat. You know, I think that's one of the big things for them right now, is trying to get somebody to score some runs. But we'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's not looking good with the Mets right now. And, you know, if these injuries continue with this team, I think they're really going to be in tough luck to try and get back in it here.
Yeah, they're not even going to have a lead to choke in September this year.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even going to get to that point at this point, as far as they're playing right now, if it continues. Now, we've talked about the Mets enough. It's turning into WFAN here. So let's move on to the team that I think is on the rise a little bit, the Cincinnati Reds. Now, I've been on their bandwagon for a while because I've loved their starting rotation. And, you know, they didn't have Joey Votto for the longest time. I think he was dealing with some personal issues. Now he's back, and he had a huge game. I think 4 hits on Sunday, if I remember. So the Reds look like they could be a factor. They're only 3 games out, and they're a 500 team. Do you see this team making a potential run to at least a wild card?
No.
Wow, really? Okay.
I still think they're too young right now. I think that they're just one of those teams that's, you know, playing about 500 baseball, looking pretty good, but I don't know if the pitching can hold up, you know, kind of longer term, with the guys that they got on there, you know, and then also just the hitters and stuff. I mean, it's kind of a streaky team. The Reds, they're going to have their games or their stretches where they're going to play really well, run off some wins, but they're also going to have some stretches where they're not going to play well. And I just think in the long run, it's going to pretty much kind of translate to about a 500 year or a little bit below 500. And that's just not going to be enough to do the wild card. You're going to have to be a little bit better than that. But I think it's good. I think they've got some young talent there, and it's good and promising. And maybe the next 2 years, you know, they can put some stuff together.
I agree with that. You know, speaking about the pitching, I think that's probably one of the more underrated parts of their team. Not only their rotation, which is not, I know it's not great, but they do have two guys that are very good, the solid 1-2. That's Harang and Johnny Cueto. And
right.
Harang's got the strikeouts, and Cueto's got this terrific ERA. He's got a lot of talent. Cueto's just amazing. And, you know, they also have a decent bullpen anchored by Francisco Cordero, who I thought... Now, see, did I have that right? Yeah. Francisco Cordero, their closer. I thought that was a waste of money when they got him, but it's turning out to be a good move. He's a good closer. And I think that's really helped their bullpen become much more solid than it had been in years past. So, you got that going for him.
Yeah, Cordero's certainly strong. Hines had quietly a good year this year. He's got the ERA under 4. Yep. Obviously, he racks up the strikeouts, as everybody knows. I think he's, you know, he's been pretty good. I mean, the other guys, I mean, they kind of struggle on some of those. I mean, Bronson Arroyo, you know, he's whatever. You know, every once in a while he's good for a pretty good start, but most of the time he's pretty average, if not below average. You got Homer Bailey, who they started the other day. He had some serious issues this past weekend, particularly with his control. And he's been kind of a big disappointment his whole career, really. And then even, like, Micah Owings, the guy who used to pitch for the Diamondbacks, is actually their other starter. And he's kind of a fill-in guy right now for Volquez, Edison Volquez, who's been hurt, banged up and stuff. So, I mean, the pitching's okay. They got some good guys on there. Obviously, Cueto's awesome, but... Yeah, they've got some holes there, too. You know, down at the bottom part, it's pretty average, so.
No doubt. Now, speaking of average, how about the Cubbies? I mean, what happened to this team? What happened to this team? That's all I have. What happened?
Well, a big part is Aramis Ramirez is out.
This is true. Aramis Ramirez has been out for 4 to 6 weeks. I know this because he's on my fantasy team. But, you know, you're right. That's a big part of their offense. But that doesn't explain how they keep... Well, maybe it does. I mean, you may have a point.
To a certain degree. I mean, the other point is obviously some of the pitching hasn't been there for the Cubs. You know, even Zambrano, he's got some issues. He's had some blow-up moments this year. He continues to just be a complete head case when it comes to composure on the mound and being able to really handle, you know, stressful moments in a game. You know, and then obviously they're a team with full streaky hitters, guys like Soriano and guys like Derek Lee, and you know, they just can't not being able to put the offense. And Milton Bradley's been a bust. They went out and got him in the off season, thinking that he could be that other bat in the lineup that would get some pop, and he just hasn't worked out. He's almost caused more headaches and problems than anything. So they've got some serious issues there in Chicago, and kind of like the Mets, I kind of wonder, how are they going to recover? Are they going to recover? You know, they won tonight, but certainly, you know, that team, and even Kevin Gregg, you know, their closer, they went out and got from the Marlins. He's been kind of all over the place this year at times, too. You know, he's been good at times, and he's been bad at times, but that, you know, part of the problem is their closer role, you know. Late in the season, you know, you look back and the guy blew, you know, double-digit saves. You know, that could be a big reason why maybe at that point you're maybe missing the playoffs.
Well, let me tell you a story about Kevin Gregg. First of all, the guy is not a very good closer, in my opinion. He had a really terrible end to his season in 08. Now, I think you could argue that he was hurt, because if you look at the statistics and splits, it really supports the fact that he probably was hurt, ailing from something, because his ERA went up so high, it was so ridiculous. You figure, okay, we'll give him a pass from the 2000 because he was hurt that last couple of months, and then they shut him down. But I don't think Gregg is really that great of a closer, and I think it's showing here in Chicago. I really think they should have gone with Marmol, but I've been saying that forever. Is it just
me? Marmol will eventually be the guy, but, you know, I guess they felt he's still too young and they don't want to throw him in that spot yet, and so they got Kevin Gregg, and short term he's going to be the closer, but I think, you know, if not later this year, maybe even next year or something like that, I think Marmol will take over. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, Gregg's certainly not a top tier closer, it's shown in moments this year.
No question about it. Now, let's go into the American League a little bit. We have another case of one team coming up, the other coming down. And This time, let's start with the team going up, the Yankees. They've won 5 in a row, but are you convinced?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty well sold on the Yankees.
Really? Okay.
When you're
okay.
spending that kind of money and getting that kind of talent,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be there with you. I mean, obviously, Teixeira has been, you know, started the year really rough, but since he's been a fantastic addition for that team, and is one of the top leaders in home runs in the American League, as he's kind of grown into his role there in New York. A-Rod's, you know, the home run numbers are there, but the average isn't. But that, I think that will continue to get better, and I think we're going to see we'll see his numbers kind of be about where they usually are by the end of the season. And then obviously CeCe's, you know, some of the early season struggles, he's pitched better. Burnett's been a little bit inconsistent, but you know he'll still be there. Long was hurt for a while; he's coming back, and Jabba's still kind of learning his role. I mean, they've got big names on that team, and they don't always produce, but they produce enough. I think that team is certainly dangerous, and I don't think at all the Yankees are going to be out of it anytime soon. I think they're going to be right there towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I got to give it to them as far as off their offensive prowess. They do have a lot of it, and they have as good a lineup as I've seen in quite a while. You know, a lot of people would talk about, well, they don't really have a lineup that knows how to play together. They hit, okay? They can hit the ball. I mean, people are talking about, well, there's no cohesion. It's not designed like this, or it's not designed well. Can they hit the baseball? Yes. So I think they have a good lineup. I mean, even guys like Robbie Cano, who's you know, probably like a middle of the pack or low end of the lineup hitter, he's doing pretty well. I mean, he's got about, I think, what, 12 home runs this season so far. I think that's a good lineup from top to bottom. I think there's even Brett Gardner's been doing pretty well. I think he plays center field at the moment. Not a bad guy to have in there plugged in to hit between the other guys, you know. I don't know what Damon's deal is, but everybody else, I think it's a good lineup. So, I think I'm on the boat a little bit. I do think that the Yankees are a streaky team. Don't you agree with that, Andrew? Like, they play really well for, like, a month, and then the rest of the time they're kind of, like, 500.
Yeah, they're a streaky team, but, I mean, you know, I mean, they can get away with it when, you know, when your payroll is that much, and you're going to have games where they're going to go out and score tons of runs, and you're going to have other games where they're going to struggle, you know? It's just the consistency thing isn't there, but, overall, they're a dangerous team, certainly, and I don't know whether or not they're going to be in the playoffs. I still like the Red Sox in that division more, but you know, I they're certainly a dangerous team. I think they'll be there for the race for the American League, or at the very least, I think they're going to be there for the wild card.
Yeah, they'll definitely be there for the wild card. That's without question. So now let's go on to the rest of the league. I was telling you there was a team going down. That team is, in my opinion, the Texas Rangers. Now they've lost 3 straight. They lost to the Angels in the last game. They've lost 7 of their last 10 overall. You mentioned it a while ago, Andrew, when we talked about Josh Hamilton coming out for those couple of weeks. They definitely have struggled to hit lately.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they have. They really have. I think there's, when you talk about streaky teams, I think there's another one. They are struggling right now with hitting the baseball. I think Josh Hamilton's a big part of that. And, you know, him being out, he looks like he's going to return maybe in the next few weeks here. But yeah, I mean, certainly I think that they need to get him back. And you know, the big thing is also the pitching. It can't hold up. I think we're starting to see some of the chinks in the pitching armor there for them, and we'll have to see how the rest of the season kind of plays out, but certainly the Angels beat them again tonight. The Angels are a hot team, and you know, this series, if the Rangers don't pick it up a little bit, you know, if they were to get swept, they're going to find themselves 4 or 5 games back here, you know, the Angels, and they had a good lead there not too long ago, so it's certainly been a role reversal over there, but I don't think that's necessarily a surprise. I think a lot of people could see that coming for a while.
Absolutely. I mean, there's 2 things in play here. Number one, a lot of the Angels that were gimpy over the last month or so have come back. John Lackey's one of them. Vlad Guerrero's another. they're getting healthy now, and I think they're playing, quote, Angels baseball, which, in my opinion, is just like they can pitch, and they get a lot of singles. So, you know, you get more singles there than you do at Wendy's. It's ridiculous how the Angels hit. But,
very nice.
Yeah, but it's boring. I mean, okay. I'm out of respect to all my friends who are Angels fans. They are very, I think they're a solid team, and their pitching is very good, and I think their bullpen's fine. Fuentes is not an ideal closer, but they're definitely built to win games, and I got to give them a lot of credit for that.
Well, we'll watch them lose in the playoffs again this year.
Well, so. I mean, it's just kind of annoying after a while seeing this happen year after year. But let's also note this: the Angels also have played Boston in some of those series, probably half of them, and they got their own problems with Boston. If they play somebody else, I think they have a chance to advance in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's still too early to tell with baseball playoffs
this
and how
true.
That's going to work out. But certainly to a certain degree. I mean, they've been unlucky that they always get the Boston Red Sox. But, you know, it's pretty much almost anybody going to the American League has got to pass up Boston and get to the World Series. So it's just kind of how it's been the last few years.
Speaking of which, how about the Tampa Bay Rays this year? I'm really disappointed in the team, to be honest with you. Really, really disappointed. What has been their biggest problem? Has it been the pitching, the bullpen, or the offense, or maybe some combination of the three?
Well, I think, you know, I just think last year they kind of came out of, I think the biggest advantage was last year they just kind of came out of nowhere. You know, a lot of young guys kind of all clicked together at the same time. And they kind of took a lot of people by surprise, you know. And even last year, a lot of people were like, well, when's this going to stop? When is this going to end? You know, this can't last. And they made it last the entire season all the way up to the World Series. So I think this year, you know, teams are much more ready for them, you know, and much more focused when they get the Rays on the schedule. It's not anymore like, oh, Tampa Bay, it's going to be three easy wins, or we'll at least get two out of these three. You know, it's seem to be a little more geared up for him. And yeah, I mean, obviously the pitching's been a little inconsistent. The hitting, for the most part, they haven't been able to, you know, the Carl Crawford's had a good year. Longoria was injured for a little bit, but he's been pretty good. And they've got some other guys, but they're young players, and the young players are streaky, and so, you know, that's where your team's going to be, and that's where they're at right now. And they've got the group there, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to put it all together and be more consistent to do that this year.
You know, Andrew, we're always going to be ready for you, my friend. Thanks for joining us here today. It's been fun. Thanks again. Have a good day.
All right. Well, Dave, I'm looking forward to football season.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I agree with that.
2 more months and we're going to get a real conversation.
This is true. All right, my friend. We'll take it easy.
All right. Later, Dave.
That is, of course, the unmistakable bull voice of Andrew Jacobson, the football guru here on the big program, Dave in the City. Beautiful, beautiful to have him. And that's it. Thanks again for listening to us today. We hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy your week. Dave here for Dave in the City saying goodbye, and I'll see you next time.